recorded message number TL-563. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 16, where we come upon an interesting incident that has to do with the challenge of the authority of Moses. Now, if ever there were a nation under God, it was the people of Israel. For certainly when they came out of Egypt and were brought out into the wilderness, they were constantly under the direction and the watchful care of God. God had used Moses to bring them out, and Moses, under God, had become their lawgiver. He was the interpreter of their laws, and he was the judge of their laws. And while he had helpers, as we have already considered, but nevertheless, the majority of the work rested right upon his shoulders. Now in Numbers chapter 16, we read of one called Korah. He is declared to be the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben. They took men, and they rose up before Moses. They came right and they faced him, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, who were famous in the congregation, who were men of renown. Now the word here for congregation is the Hebrew word moed, M-O-E-D. That may not be the exact pronunciation, but that's the best that I can do with these Hebrew terms. We know it's the word moed. And this had to do more or less with the people when assembled. And when they assembled, these men were outstanding, well known, and they were recognized in the congregation. They were men of renown. So these were not just the ordinary citizens of Israel. These were important men. These 250 gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy." Now there's the word congregation again, but it is another Hebrew word, for this is the Hebrew word edah, E-D-A-H, and is translated here congregation. Now, this word congregation appears, about 140 times. It's around that, I don't have the exact count, but it's translated congregation 124 times. It's translated company 13 times and assembly 9 times, and it would simply mean the whole of Israel. Of course, every man in Israel was of the seed of Abraham. I'm not paying any attention here to the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with them, but those who were Israelites, who were a part of the divine company, and not just the camp followers that caused trouble for Israel, but the whole congregation, this Adah, they were holy, every one of them, for they could trace their ancestry back to Abraham, to whom God made the promises, to Jacob, whose name, through Isaac, to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and they were Israelites, every one of them. They were holy before the Lord. Now, the word holy does not mean sinless, as some would like to think. People think because it says that God is holy, that therefore it has to mean sinless. No, it can have to do with separate, for our God is separate. He cannot be mingled with all of the other gods that men worship, but the idols that they set up. God is holy. Every one of these were holy. And the Lord, that's the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is often translated Jehovah, but I prefer to go right back to the Hebrew word and dodge all the translations, that Yahweh is among them. And indeed he was. In all of these people out here in the wilderness, even though they are wandering, Yahweh was among them. Wherefore then, lift ye up yourselves above all the congregation. And that's the third time we have the word congregation. And this is the Hebrew word kahal, K-A-H-A-L. And we know by the law of divine interchange that this is interchangeable with the Greek word ekklesia. So whatever kahal meant, that's what ekklesia means. Whatever ekklesia means, that's what the kahal means. For in the great company of Israel, that could be called the Adah, there were out of these certain people that had a position out of Moses. And having this out position, they were the kahal in Israel. And he says, you lift yourself above the out position ones of Yahweh. Well, when Moses heard it, this caused him great distress. He fell upon his face. It's natural it would cause him great distress. Now, I suppose that if I were a pastor and I was the head of a congregation and that there were people in the congregation that were challenging me, as almost every pastor faces, it might be that I would try to apply this to them. But this doesn't have anything at all to do with a man who has been selected as a pastor of a congregation and gets his salary from the congregation. Such men are always going to have opposition, and they can't use something like this to put down those who oppose them. They can't use this record because the situation is something that is entirely different. You know, there is a passage where the Lord says, touch not mine anointed. And I've heard ministers who were in trouble with their congregations, being charged with this and charged with that, would claim that they were anointed of God when they were called to the ministry, and that if anyone touched them, that they could face serious consequences from the Lord. But that's just making too big a claim. And it's claiming divine privileges, mediatorship between God and man that men do not have. And we should not use it that way. We should take this story and let the story speak to us without trying to build ourselves or put our opposition into it. Those who oppose us into it. And we will not do that. Now, Moses spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show you who are his. My, how he could speak and say, tomorrow the Lord will show you. He will show you. Yahweh will show you who are his. And he'll show you who is holy. And he will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Now he says, this is the thing that you're to do. Take you censers. These were little containers made of brass that contained the burning incense. Take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Because he charges them with this now, because they are challenging God's arrangement, a divine arrangement that existed in Israel, of which Moses at this time was the head. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel? And he had done so. He had separated these from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and stand before the congregation to minister, that is, to dispense unto them. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And now you seek the priesthood also. It seems that what their challenge was, that they were seeking the priesthood also. Now he says, for which cause both you and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, we will not come up. They refused to come up. And they said, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? Now these men looked upon Egypt as a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And now he says, you brought us out of a good place to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us. A prince was the first over us. And that's Moses' position, and they're challenging this. He says, moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey. You said that's where we were going, but you haven't brought us into any land that flows with milk and honey. You haven't given us any portion of fields and vineyards. But wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Now that is the answer of Dathan and Abiram, who said they would not come up. Well, Moses was very wroth. He was angry at this. And he said unto the Lord, that's Yahweh, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ash from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Moses could say this. I haven't taken one of their animals, not one thing have I taken from them. I have done no harm to any of them. Now Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. Well, they took every man his censer, this little vessel of brass that was slitted over the top to allow the incense to arise out of it as it burned. Now put fire in the censers. Lay incense thereon. They did this, and they stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Now, in the Bible, there are many times when the glory of the Lord, it doesn't seem to say very much. Just what was this that appeared? The glory of the Lord appeared unto them, unto all the congregation. Oftentimes, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word glory should be translated recognition. Now, I do not say this in every occurrence. There are some places where I believe it should be translated glory, although that word glory is to us a rather meaningless word. People use it all the time, but what they mean by it no one can tell. And here would be the recognition of Yahweh would appear. Now, in verse 20, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves, stand apart from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. So Moses and Aaron fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, where they're their tent, which would be the center of these companies, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel follow him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every hand. Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, with their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works. Everything I have done, the miracles that he performed in Egypt, the bringing out of the people, the bringing them across the Red Sea, you'll know that the Lord sent me to do all these works, for I've not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord, now remember, Moses is saying this in advance of the tragedy that comes upon these men. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick, living, into the pit. And that is the word Sheol, for that is where these men are going, into the state of death. That might well be called the thanatude, from the Greek word thanatos with our English U-D-E ending, like gratitude. This is the state of death. Gratitude is a state of being thankful. This is the state of death. They go down quick into Sheol, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked Yahweh, the Lord. It came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave, it split asunder, that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth, and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They, and all that appertained to them, went down alive into Sheol. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. That is the Hebrew word kahal, for they were a part of the men who had a position out of Moses under God. And they were a part of the kahal, and they perished from the kahal, which was their position before the Lord. And all Israel round about them fled at the cry of them. And they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. These were the rebellious ones, but there was a fire came out from the Lord. It struck right out at them and brought about their death. The censers of these sinners, pardon me, I got ahead of myself there. Now the Lord spake, this verse 36, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they, that's the censers, are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. As long as they saw those plates upon the covering the altar, it would be a sign of remembrance, a memorial to what had taken place. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah, and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. You see, the real challenge here was to the priesthood. It was to the authority of Moses, of course, but as long as Moses stood, the priesthood stood. Now God's going to establish this priesthood in such a way that no one will ever do this again. Verse 41, But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, You've killed the people of the Lord. Now they're getting on the other side. The company, they're murmuring, saying, You've killed the people of the Lord. It came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto them, saying, Get you up among the congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, and plague is begun. So Aaron took as Moses commanded, and he ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement, a covering for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them which died after the manner of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. It was stopped right there by the act of Aaron. And the reason that this worked so miraculously and worked so perfectly was because they were doing the exact thing that God told them to do. God was directing every step of this. They got their knowledge from the Lord as they fell upon their faces, and God guided them in every step of it. Now this brings us to chapter 17. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers. Of all the princes, according to the house of their fathers, take 12 rods, and write thou every man's name upon his rod. This means that each tribe had a prince. He would be first in the tribe. There were 12 tribes in Israel, and so they are to write the name of the prince upon the rod. Then he said in the third verse, Thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And they shall lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, this would be his staff, that he used in walking, and so on. And whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. Now, it was first thing that this rod was to do was to blossom. Now, there's more to this. Verse 6, And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. The rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of the witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. This dry rod, this staff, that they placed in there, it had budded, and it brought forth buds, and it blossoms, and it yielded almonds, all of this. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked, and every man took his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so. As the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, Behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle, the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? The answer, ask it as a question, shall we just be consumed? Well, now what happened? The Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood, and thy brethren also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee, but thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness, and they shall keep the charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary, and the charge of the altar, and there shall be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord, to do the service for the tabernacle of the congregation. So we see from this a repetition of what we had before, when these charges were given as laws to be kept and observed carefully. And so the very tribe of Levi is given as a gift to the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Let any stranger try to do this, and the result would be death. You know, it's interesting here to note that among the people of Israel today, there is no man who can positively identify his tribe. All records have been lost, and no man can say, I'm of the tribe of Levi. He may think so, but there is no way at all that he can prove it. No way at all that he can demonstrate it, and if someone would challenge it, I just have to say, well, I say so, and my father told me so, and his father told him so, and that'd be about the only proof he'd have if he'd claimed to be a member of the tribe of Levi. And when it comes to the Aaronic family, there is no one at all who today could prove that he descended from Aaron. He may make the claim, and if someone wants the proof, all he can do is say, well, I say so, and my father told me this, and so on. But that's the best that he can do. Therefore, the people of Israel have a hard time trying to establish the religion of the Old Testament, whether they do it in the land of Israel, whether they try to do it here in Los Angeles. It's just something that they set up and sort of make up, and in the end, there's not very much to it that is really divine. Well, in verse 8, we read that the Lord spake unto Aaron and says, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. That's the word olam, which means in perpetuity. They shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy places shalt thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offering of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee and to thy sons and thy daughters with thee to be a statute in perpetuity, a statute in perpetuity. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil, all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of man or beast, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts shalt thou redeem, and those that are be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But he says, the firstling of a cow, or the firstling of a sheep, or the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shall burn their fat for an offering made by fire, for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast, and as the right shoulder of thine. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. That's for Olam. It is a covenant of salt. Now there's an interesting thing. We'd have to go back into Leviticus and follow it out, but this salt covenant was very important. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord, in perpetuity before the Lord unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And the Lord spake unto Aaron. He said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I'm your part, and I'm your inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service, which they serve, even the service, the tabernacle of the Lord. This tenth, of course, had to do with the tithe. And which it was to be proper to the children of Israel. Verse 22, neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle congregation. They shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Now, as we well know, the children of Israel were supposed to give one-tenth of everything. They were supposed to bring this into the storehouses of the Levites, the congregation, and there it would be distributed by them. Now, this one-tenth, and it had to do not with money. It had to do with the crops that they raised and the lambs that the flock would bear and everything that had to do, you know, with food and so on. One-tenth of it. Now, what did this tenth do? Well, it supported the king and the great staff that served the king, we might say. It supported Moses, and it supported the entire tribe of Levi. And it was the tax that the Lord laid upon them. It supported the army. It supported the soldiers. Went forth to fight. And when a man went forth to fight, he didn't go forth expecting to support himself. He expected the people back home to support him. For they were a military ecclesia, really, a military outcalling with their position out of the people. And so this one-tenth that the people gave, it took care of everything. Now, I don't know what tax bracket you're in, but you don't have to make very much money get into a higher bracket. Most people find themselves today in a 25% bracket. Of course, that 25% bracket goes to pay the president's salary and the congressmen and the senators and He goes to support the governor and the lieutenant governor, and that goes to support all of these, both your state and your federal income tax. So it would be nice if we could get by by just paying a tenth, but we can't do it. And many people find themselves in a 50% bracket. So let's be careful here when we deal with this tithe. This was never any burden to the people of Israel. Now, let's go on with verse 25. We'll find more. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then shall ye offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. Now they were to take one tenth of the tithe and offer this up as the Lord. Then ye also shall offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel. Ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering to the Lord, and all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best part thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, as the increase of the winepress, and ye shall eat it in every place, ye in your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. Well, you can begin to see that if people who think that they can keep the law by giving a tenth to their church, well, that can't be law-keeping, because if any man keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. And what about all the rest of this, the tenth of the tenth that had to be offered? What was to be done? Why, these things are almost difficult even to understand, let alone to keep them. Now, we can't expect to be saved by the giving of a tenth, keeping of the law, even to gain the favor of God by doing these things. Out of what the Lord has given to us, we should give. A tenth was all they had to give, unless it was some special thing, like the atonement money, which was extra. But nevertheless, that paid their entire tax burden for the nation of Israel. Well, we come to the 19th chapter. We have a few minutes left. Let's look into this. The Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto children of Israel that they bring thee a red heifer. This heifer was to be without spot, wherein was no blemish, upon which had never come a yoke. It had never been used to pull loads or anything like that. You'll give this red heifer unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face, in his presence, that means. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. Her skin, her flesh, her blood, with her dung shall ye burn, everything. And the priest shall take cedar wood, and hyssop, and scarlet, and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, he shall bathe his flesh in water. After it he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the even. And he that burneth her shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until the even. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up without the camp in a clean place. It shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water of separation. It is purification for sin. And he that gathereth the ash of the heifer shall wash his clothes, and be unclean until evening, and shall be unto the children of Israel, unto the stranger that sojourneth among them, for a statute forever. That's ever flowing in perpetuity. Well, that's a good place there to make a break. And I'll bring the study to a close at this point and take it up here in our next lesson. It has been my pleasure to bring you this simple exposition of the book of Numbers. We will continue our study at this point in our next lesson. In the meantime, I want to thank you for listening and tell you that I pray for you that God's lines may fall for you in pleasant places. I will ask you to keep in mind that the words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried in a furnace of earth and purified seven times. And blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Therefore, I bid you goodbye.